With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Temptation Island wrap up. Today we are talking about Temptation Island Season 3, Episode 5, Three's Company. My name is Kirsten McInnes. I'm joined, as always, by Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how's it going?
Hi, Kirsten. Oh my gosh, I'm doing so good. This episode was absolutely insane. Like, I can't wait to talk about this with you because, like, what just happened in this hour of television is honestly unheard of.
Okay, I'm really glad that you're here to give me that intel because I wasn't really sure if this is typical or not. Because the show is wacko.
I don't know, but it's by far like the craziest thing that we've seen thus far.
Definitely. And thankfully for both of us, we have an expert in trashy television here to help us out. I feel like we've been in our separate villas on separate podcasts. You've been tempting me, Maggie, and we'll come to a conclusion, I guess, at the end of the podcast because Scally's here.
Oh, a conclusion. Hello, hello. Oh, I'm so excited to be here back talking about, as Kirsten says, hot dummies on an island. I've heard so many good things about Temptation Island, and so I'm excited that I finally checked it out and am here talking about it now.
I feel like this podcast feed is, it's like you and I are roommates, Scally, and you went away on a trip and I've been giving your bedroom as an Airbnb and Maggie is staying there.
It's lovely. Thank you for sharing with me, Scally. I love what you've done with the bedroom. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's
lots of scented candles.
Yeah, there's definitely like exposed brick. It's a nice place.
Absolutely.
Why is exposed brick my concept of a nice place?
Well, it's beautiful because it's like something fun, right?
I think so. I don't know if everyone agrees.
I agree. No, okay. I agree. I'm looking for a new apartment right now and we're like very into the exposed brick. I'm like hoping that I get one in a wall in my bedroom.
I've got fingers crossed for you so that one day when I can visit you, I can see the exposure.
Yes, you'll see it not through a Zoom screen.
Yeah. So, Scally, you've been catching up on Temptation Island. What are your thoughts so far?
Ooh, so, you know, as I was saying before we started recording, so Temptation Island was something that I used to sneak way back in the day with the original version. I have virtually no memory about it, except that I was very much encouraged not to be watching it, but did so anyway. And so as far as this new version, Ali Lasher had been pushing me to watch it and saying, like, you got to pick it up. And then I knew you guys were going to start covering it. So obviously, like, you know, many iconic podcasters telling me it's going to be a thing. So I jump in for season 3, and episodes 1 and 2 I liked, but I was not all the way there yet. And then I have binged the next 3 episodes, jumped into the podcast. I'm fully in on the show and have a lot of thoughts.
How do you feel about Marco Wahlberg?
L stands for legend.
Honestly, I was talking to my best friend today, who I also have gotten in on the show because she listens to the podcast, and she was like, I think think Mark L. Wahlberg is a great guy. He's like a really nice therapist. He's like, I think he's got it going on.
A friend of both Scally and I's today, the great Mel God Served, today texted me and said, dang, Mary Kill, Kendall, Corey, and Mark L. Wahlberg. Ooh. And Mark L. Wahlberg was an easy Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we ding Corey. Right?
And we ding Corey and we kill Kendall.
Yeah. Very, very easy.
Easy. Shut up, Scally.
I don't know. I mean, he at first I was like, all right, I respect the move going back to the original host, but I felt like a little out of place. But I think ultimately, like, works for the show. This is a different vibe than most of what you're getting on other shows, and I think he fits in just well.
I just get yourself a host who can do it all. He could do Temptation Island and Antiques Roadshow. Like, he's got range, baby.
That's why we're marrying him.
Yes, and right? Money, probably, right?
That is true.
For sure. And, you know, my dad loves Antiques Roadshow. As we all know, the great Mary Morgan has been following Temptation Island. Mark L. Wahlberg is in the Morgan household, let me tell you.
And you know what? If you could convince him to take your last name, he could also be MLM.
Oh my gosh. And then we will fully have Mark L. Wahlberg this to death.
Anyways, so this episode was so good. It was so messy. It was so good. We had a lot of bonfire action in this episode because it picked up from last episode and showed the men their bonfire, which was what a dream.
I think the first quote that I wrote down in my notes, the very first thing I wrote down about this episode is Kendall saying, if men are doing things with Erica that it's not going to be conducive to her growth, then I'm going to be upset.
No, he said, if men are pouring things into Erica.
Oh, my God.
Because I wrote that down. And then I wrote, I effing hate him after that sentence.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be upset if she's not reaching her fullest potential like you are, Kendall, in your velvet shirts. Really?
But then what happened? Then later in the episode, Erica says, like, that's not conducive to my growth. And it's just, like, so obvious how much his, like, gross tentacles have gotten into her brain.
It's so unfortunate. And especially, like, you have the video of the guys talking about how, like, Erica really gives her 100%, but even she'll admit, and Kendall will admit, like, he's only giving 60%, and, like, he is not ashamed to repeat that at the bonfire. He is openly talking about, like, well, what if I, like, shouldn't give more? Like, no, okay, buddy.
He literally says, she gives her best to me, and I don't give her back what she needs, because her best isn't what enough for me. What? She wakes up at 4 a.m. to iron your damn velvet shirts.
The mental gymnastics that he has to do in order to justify his terrible behavior to her. Why don't you just say it, that you're an asshole? Like, just say it. Sorry, I don't know if we can swear.
You can say asshole.
You're fine.
Okay, like, just say, well, I'm an a-hole. I am a terrible boyfriend. That's what it is. I don't want to be nice to her. That's because that's the answer here. Such a jerk.
I hate him literally so much. And then he says, my current heart posture is that I'm open. What is heart posture?
Yeah, I was like, is this a thing from past seasons? Are we readopting this back into the show? Because heart posture is not something I ever want to hear again.
My heart posture is that there is enough room in my heart to hate this man so very much.
Yeah, I mean, what is my heart posture? That my heart posture is that I would like to maybe eat a bagel before bed. Like, that's what my heart's open to. Like, not my current heart posture is that I'm open. Like, what? I don't know. He just, like, thinks that he's so smart. It's really.
Nobody has told this man the truth about himself ever.
No, definitely not. I mean, like you said, he's giving 60%. I mean, if I had to say, I would say my heart posture is a reclined at a 45 degree angle, probably relaxing. But I don't know. Kendall, I think very clearly, even at this point, it's funny to see him talking about what like Erica is going to have to do for them to be together at the end of this, when I feel like very quickly into episode one, that was clear that that was not going to be the case from his side. So I don't know why he is still giving confessionals, assuming that there's any future here.
No, I think
he thinks he gets his way.
Yeah.
So,
I think he thinks like, oh, I can just do what I want and she'll be there and we'll leave.
It's like Erica says, like, he has tried to make me feel this small so that he can get away with something this big. And it's 100% true. Ugh. Okay. Then we get something a lot less exciting, which is Julian's video, because it's literally just the most nothing scene where she was talking to the men about the previous bonfire when he was getting a lap dance, about how, like, she doesn't know if she can come back from this because her dad's not going to like seeing it. And he's like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't think I've done anything. Like, I think I've been having fun while not like crossing any boundaries. I know what I want, and I want Kristen. I want to get married. I want to start a family. Like, he's like very dedicated to like winning her over, but like he also cheated on her. So that's where it's confusing to me.
I think that he is actually like coming to the point where he's recognizing and realizing like, maybe it's not my current actions and it's maybe just how she's feeling in general. And like, I think that he's a spot on, because I don't think that she's even really holding the cheating as against him as much. I think that maybe that just like led to her feeling differently about him in general. Because I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times, Kirsten, they've just been together too long. I think that they need to like do a full on breakup. Mm-hmm. And then if they are meant to be, they will be, because it's very clear that she's just sort of done with this.
It sounds like something someone very smart said recently. I think it was me. I think I said that.
You did. You did say it.
Yeah, it's just like neither of them are really giving anything all that exciting for the bonfires, though. Like, truly.
No. Well, no, because the girls are being respectful. Like,
yeah, truly, the guys don't get to see anything because the girls are really not doing much at all. Yeah. And then the girls have to see like the most traumatizing thing that's ever happened every day.
Yeah, well, by the girls you mean Erica, but mostly. Well,
did you not see how that affects Aaron too?
That is true. Uh-huh. They do also have to see that. What I would say with Kristen and Julian is, I like Julian from what we've seen on the show, at least moving up into this point. But so with Kristen, I really do feel like she's waiting to see him mess up so that she can break things off, and really came into the show with that attitude of like,
for sure,
all right, this is going to be how it finally ends. And once I see it on film, then I have the reason. And she's not yet being proven correct. And so she's kind of in limbo. I just don't see the future there unless they really work out some serious stuff.
Well, because the thing is a lot of times people, when you're in like a long-term relationship, and I can speak from experience, is you'll be like, oh, but like, why do I want to break up with this person? Like, oh, there's no reason to end the relationship. And it's like, no, the reason is that you don't want to be there. That's enough of a reason. Mm-hmm. You don't need them to betray you. You don't need them to cheat on you. Nothing needs to go spectacularly wrong. Sometimes two people just aren't supposed to be together, and you are allowed to break up for that reason.
I know. Yeah. It's just, I know why she thinks it's so hard. It's all she's ever known.
Family too. Yeah. Like, their families are so intertwined that it is hard. It's going to be hard. But if their families are so close and love them both so much, they will support them and they'll get through it. Like, they're only 26.
Yeah, it's really true. I completely agree. I think the next clip that we see is Chelsea's with Thomas. And I'm not going to lie, my favorite at every bonfire so far has been Thomas, because he like melts down a little bit.
He gets so mad.
He gets like really upset at everything that Chelsea's doing. And it's, she said it, you know, he's the reason that they're there. I think that he's like very shocked at one, how he's feeling like insecure, and two, about how she's reacting. She's in the confessional room with Tom or with, oh, I don't even know the
Tom.
Guy's name.
With
yeah,
Tom.
I think it was with Tom.
Because yes, she's Tom. Got the double Tom situation going on.
Mm. Yes. And
you never
so
it's double Tom.
So they're in the confessional room and he's, you know, talking crap about her boyfriend. And he says that you know, there's a common thread of what these guys are doing and it's called dirty macking.
See,
and it's where
I
they put down this girl's boyfriend.
I thought it was called podcasting, but okay, Thomas.
Okay, I have heard of podcasting. I've never heard of dirty macking.
I
so
feel like
I'm unaware.
Scally, a lot of our time podcasting is making fun of bad boyfriends.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fair. I mean, if they give us the material, then like, it's not my fault.
It's like, so bad. I also just loved how Thomas is like, it's not right that he should get to talk to me through the confessional.
What, dude? Come on. Also, like, if you want to seem not like you're 37, maybe don't use terms like dirty macking.
Dirty yeah. macking.
That's like, oh, it's God. From an 80s movie. It has to be. Like, what is that? Thomas, come on. Get it together. If you're going to be romancing a 22-year-old, at least, you know about TikTok.
No, what not the 22-year-old.
Yeah, literally, Scally texted me earlier today and said, Thomas, stay away from that 22-year-old.
Yeah, like, Thomas, back away from the 22-year-old. Not okay.
What are the chances that at any point during the season of Temptation Island, Thomas calls Sophia Shorty?
Oh.
Oh, God.
He would definitely do that.
You're right. He would. Know. He is that kind of guy who would be like, hey, Shorty.
Does someone have dirty macking and Shorty in their vocabulary at the same time? I'm not
yes.
sure if that's
Thomas
an overlap.
Could.
But
oh, my God.
It's possible.
I mean, obviously, we're just three youths, so none of us
that
have ever
true.
Heard the term dirty macking before.
And then, okay, but this is my other thing about Thomas and Chelsea, because, like, I would agree that, like, you know, Chelsea was being overly flirty with that guy in the confessional. If I was her boyfriend, I would have been upset. But the clip that they showed him last week was him being so flirty with Sophia and kissing her on the cheek. Like, yeah, both of them are doing this to each other. And so for Julian to get in the car and be like, I feel like she's being a hypocrite. Like, come on, dude. There, yes,
fair.
She is being a hypocrite, but, like, he's not a saint.
No, they're both being hypocrites.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the thing.
And Kendall's in the car.
There's no arguing from that. Yeah. That is true.
Mess. So then we go back to the women's villa, and they are all very shook up at the video they saw of Kendall having sex with Alexis.
As was I.
Yeah, I think that Temptation Island does need to pay for my therapy after making me watch that. Not once, but twice.
I've heard Mark L. Wahlberg does have money, so I'm going to need to see some.
I actually heard that he's a therapist.
Where did he get his degree from? TemptationIsland.com?
I feel like Mark L. Wahlberg is that man who thinks he's so smooth, and if he were on a dating app, he'd have it down as like, I attended the School of Hard Knocks, like thinking it's funny. And then I'm just like, left.
No, it would be something about Antiques Roadshow. Like, it would be like, let me come and appraise your heart.
Maybe that's his bio.
Sorry,
I think
everybody.
I think he would put his school as the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh man, that's funny. Well, if you want to hear what my mom had to say about this men's bonfire,
yes,
obviously.
Okay, so Mary says, so we are being set up for Thomas to be the next on the Temptation Island chopping block. I see another couple being washed away with the ocean tide.
She has such a way with words.
I know. I love her so much.
Oh my God. Truly the star of this podcast is Mary.
Right? So yeah, when they get back, like you said, the girls are all so upset, but then they're like, you know what? Let's party. Let's not talk about it. Let's party. Chelsea does a dirty dancing leap into someone's arms.
Yes. And then at that moment, Erica is talking to Tommy and Tommy's like, you know, you're my number one, no matter what anyone else says, because he just, as we saw last week, wants to smash.
Yeah.
He said, oh, Erica's vulnerable. Let me go there.
You could see when she was talking about how, like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time on something I can't do about it. And every guy's eyes are bulging out of their head like, Erica's available. Erica's available. Erica's available. And so Two Hands Tommy got right in there. And luckily for Chelsea, she notices it so that she doesn't go ahead and invest even more time in Tommy here.
Mm-hmm. But Chelsea has taken a step back into into the big dentist arms of Dr. Blake here, as we'll see throughout the episode. I knew Kirsten was going to be really disappointed.
Honestly, I really, like, last week I was like, yeah, Chelsea, you go, girl boss. And now I'm like, no, how dare you?
I think she's going to, I do, my prediction, and I've predicted this for a few weeks, but I do really see us going down the road of Chelsea hooking up with Dr. Blake.
Oh, 100%.
Because she sees Thomas, like, do one thing she doesn't like, and she's like, I don't care anymore. And then she's going to have on the island with Dr.
This
Blake.
Is what's going to happen, and you predicted it so accurately a few weeks ago. She mm-hmm. saw something she didn't like from Thomas, and so now she's going to do something Thomas won't like to see in retaliation, and then he is going to do something even worse, and it's just going to go mm-hmm. back and forth until they've both just had sex with other people.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, they're both seeing clips of each other being, like, more and more progressively flirty, which, mm-hmm. like, any of those lines would be fine if you agreed upon them. Like, if you allow mm-hmm. your partner to do whatever, like, that's your business. But they clearly mm-hmm. don't have that level of communication. And so it's just spiraling already.
Spiraling from the moment they applied for the show.
Yeah. Like, I'm pumped. I can't wait, honestly, because this is, like, going to be not, you know, dark the way that it was when, like, I think Kendall and Erica, you know, all of that stuff went down, because that is, like, dark. I think that Chelsea and Thomas are just, like, the classic tit for tat. Like, you screw me, I'll screw you, and let's just screw everybody, I guess.
It's just going to get worse and worse. We also get, so we get a scene of Kristen who literally says, I'm worried that Julian is going to pass this test. Like, she wants out.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Badly. And like, my thing is, like, girl, I wrote under this, I just wrote, girl, break up with him. Like, what else is there to say? No wonder these guys here are annoyed with her, because she's probably going around being like, yeah, I don't know, like, my boyfriend, I feel like there's nothing he can really do to make me trust him. And they're like, then why? Why are you even doing this? And she's like, I don't know, because I don't think she knows what she wants. She doesn't. She's confused too, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a reason, that is your reason. Like, you already found it.
Exactly. Meanwhile, at the men's house, Julian is crying alone on his bed because he's realized that maybe Kristen has outgrown him or the relationship, and that's, like, one of his biggest fears. Truly, I almost cried watching this because it was just so sad.
It was really sad, especially because it was like nest cam, sort of, like, it was, like, in the corner of his room, sort of blurry. Like, they clearly caught him, like, he was having a moment alone, and it was a very clearly a real moment, you know, where he's very upset by himself. And I was like, oh gosh, like, this guy is hurting. Like, he left the party early to go upstairs and cry in his room because he was so sad. I was like, geez. And meanwhile, you know, Kendall downstairs is telling Alexis, like, where she can and can't move, and where she's gonna live after this. And he's like,
well, they caught feelings, Kristen, really fast. Okay, Alexis and Kendall, they've got really strong feelings for each other.
He's only willing to give Erica 60% after how many years? And with Kendall, he's like, move to LA. I got 40% left over for you. Like, we're good to go.
Right. My mom said that by saying she's not going to go back to LA, he's already spinning his control web over Alexis. Mm-hmm. It's true. He's a really controlling guy, you know?
I did like how it went straight from that scene to Chelsea with Dr. Blake. And Dr. Blake's just like, so how many cats do you have? And she's like, two. Their names are Ben and Bud.
Solid names, to be honest.
They're pretty good cat names.
Lord. Yeah.
And then we get that. Well, the next day, you know, it's the next morning. And of course, Kendall and Alexis have slept together again. They're like, you know, getting out of bed together. And then we get the scene with Erica and Kristen, and she's like in her little hat. You know, like clearly she's like, I don't want anybody to really see me cry. She's in her hat and her sunglasses, like trying to hold it together. And this was a moment where I was like, no wonder these girls are still friends. Like I looked them up on Instagram and they're still very close friends, all of them. And okay. I was like, no wonder, because they seem like really actually like, especially the girls, they seem like good people. And like Kristen was being a really good friend to her, I thought.
Yeah, I think Kristen was 100% the right shoulder for Erica to cry on. And Erica's like, I just feel so humiliated. And I've spent all of my time like building Kendall up as if he's this like wise, incredible man. And like when we got into this relationship, it felt like the best thing ever. And like, this is love. And now I'm realizing I don't even know what love is. And it's just so, so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because Erica was saying like Kristen was saying that like she doesn't cry in front of like her family or in front of Julian. And so like Erica the night. Yeah. And so she cries in the shower, whereas like Erica was like putting on the brave face last night also. So I thought that was like a good choice of who actually to talk to about this.
Yeah. And sorry to cut you off, but and Kristen said like, I wish I was more like Erica, who could have a conversation like this with a girl she just met, you know, and then like talk it through. I thought that was really lovely to hear.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate to see like where Erica was talking about how like this is what she thought love was, like pushing each other to like be the best. And so like she was doing everything for and building up Kendall, and he was molding her almost into like what he wanted. And I don't know if that was confused with like making her better in that like manipulative way, but it was really unfortunate.
Thanks. I hate it. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
So after this sad portion of the episode, we get into the good stuff, which is that I forgot about this. They eliminate some of these single people. And as Kendall puts it, it's a great time meeting everybody, but there's some dead weight in the house. How dare you, Kendall?
So Marco Wahlberg comes up to the men and is like, it's time for an elimination. Like, I'm sure you're not vibing with everybody. You have to send some people home. You can send home as many people as you want. Just you could do it. And the most of the men are like, oh, this is so hard. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And Kendall's like, I'm used to this. I fire people all the time. I could do this in a second. Like, the more you make these decisions, the easier it gets.
We have seen how quickly Kendall dropped Erica. It's not surprising he is willing to drop many of these women at a moment's notice.
The dead weight.
Yeah. Which is a cruel way to phrase it, but I have to agree that some people I don't need here.
Yeah, I did write down here, the other men have actual emotions, but Kendall is a demon.
Yeah, my comment here is just the three girls that the guys eliminated are so irrelevant. I have no idea what their names are.
Wait, I described them because we did get one confessional, so we know one of them is named Lauren, and I wrote Lauren, the model, and another stranger gets sent home.
It was so sad. She was like, I don't want to take up space. I was like, what a sad way to think about yourself.
I know. And it's so funny, the contrast just between the men and the women, both in relationships and as singles, like, because this girl is like, I don't want to take up space when not someone's forever here. And the guys are like, screw you.
Yeah. And like, to be fair, I'm really glad that they got Julian to be the one to like tell them who's going home, because he was so genuine and kind and was like, we just don't feel a connection and we wish you nothing but the best in the future. Like, I feel like it's like that episode of Friends where Phoebe has to break up with Janice for Chandler. And like, Phoebe's really good at breaking up with people. They just like hug her and leave every time. Whereas Chandler's like, I don't know what to do. And so I feel like Julian is the Phoebe here.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, Scally, that is so funny. She was like, I don't want to take up space. I'll find love sometime. Like, well, Lauren, you're Hawaiian. You're your name. Come on, girl. Let's have a little spice. Let's have something. Yeah.
Thankfully for her, she also didn't take up any space on the edit. So. Okay. And then the women also do an elimination. Mm-hmm. And they decide to send home the most dramatic people in the house. They're like, we're going to send home the drama. Mm-hmm. And so they send home Tommy, Trent, my husband, Rocky Buttery,
so sad.
And Evan.
And this is, I mean, this is what I signed up for Temptation Island for, right? Like, this is the cringiest scene I've perhaps ever seen.
This is literally, it's like you're talking to a man and then you're like, hey, you know what? Actually, I'm not vibing. And then they're like, whatever, you're a fat bitch anyways. I hate you. Like, you're ugly. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I wonder why we weren't vibing. Maybe because you are a ghoul.
You can't dump me. I already dumped you. I didn't even want to be here. I was going to leave. Like, okay, bye.
Okay, then please proceed.
Evan is just like, you know what, Aaron, you're cool, but you three other girls, sayonara. They get so mad. And Kristen's like, I'm so sorry. How could we think that you were actually here to get to know us when you couldn't remember our names?
And then she's like and he's like, oh, I couldn't remember your name. Oh, why is that a big deal? Mad. I love he goes, Aaron, I hope you reach your full potential, but to the rest of you, sayonara. Like, I feel like it's like that scene, I don't even remember what movie it's from, where they're like, you're cool, but fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Right? Like, also, you know, one of the guys, I think it was Trent, was like, he goes to Kristen and he's like, when a guy cheats on you and you let him walk all over you, you don't deserve that. Like, good luck. Yeah. Super sarcastically. And Erica's like, how about you guys take the time to reflect on yourselves? And they're like, how about you take the time to reflect on your relationship, Erica? We know about the bonfire.
Trent and every other man, your purpose in being here is to get women to cheat on their boyfriends. So stop acting so above it all. Like, you were explicitly cast for this reason.
They're both the moral compass of the show and also the trio of, like, doom that was like, we're gonna smash.
Yeah, I mean, like, so embarrassing for them. Like, literally, like, I literally, the secondhand embarrassment I was getting from the screen, I was like, not only are you deeply irrelevant, but nobody thought about you today. So, like, you need to, like, just let it go. Like, you just need to go home now. Like, chalk up your 2-week Hawaii vacation, you know, an experience. You're on TV for a second. Now go home.
Yeah,
I can't remember which woman said it, but they were like, Tommy is definitely here for the wrong reasons.
Yes, which I love. Tommy was like, you're right. I was here for a good time, not a long time. Like, he had no intention of getting in a relationship and he was blunt about it. So, like, all right, see you, Tommy. Like, we got what we needed out of you. And that's what I like, is that we lost people that we actually did know here. And so there was some consequences to people actually going home.
Yeah, unlike the women, where it was like, I've never seen, like, I'm sorry, and I hope I don't sound ridiculous, but I don't know these women.
It was three PAs that they lined up for the scene.
Oh, the only reason why I don't believe that on site is because the model lady made that comment about her long legs in the premiere. That's the only reason why I'm I guess they weren't PAs.
The model one is the one who last episode was like, why aren't any of these guys talking to me? Like, like, she's just like never in her life gone a second without a guy coming up and trying to hit on her. So she was like very shook that these guys weren't interested in her. Mm-hmm. But I loved this sequence. I want more of stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Just incredible. And then it goes straight into the parties, because this is, again, the drunkest show on reality TV. Mm-hmm. And Kendall is like, we had a very serious day, everybody, but you are still here. You're all special in different ways, and we appreciate you. So let's turn up tonight. But first, let's pour some out for our fallen soldiers.
I mean, just when you think I couldn't hate this guy more. Like, what a lunatic.
Like, right? It's like, oh, Kendall reached rock bottom. And he's like, nah, I got a jackhammer. Let me take care of this.
And so they're all downstairs doing this. And then we get another clip of Julian in his room sobbing. And I'm like, Julian can't catch a break. These guys are doing body shots. And he's like so sad in his room. He's like, gotta put on a brave face and go drink some tequila. Just like, what's nothing more than to probably lay in his bed and stare at the ceiling fan, wondering how he got here.
He wants nothing more than to go to the women's villa and grab Kristen and like make everything magically work again the way it did when they were 16 and started dating.
I know. But the girls have this glow up party, which I think it's fun, right? They've got glow sticks and they're having a good time.
Yeah. They're glowing up with the new men gone.
Right. Chelsea's doing her thing with Dr. Blake.
I wrote down Chelsea is back with Blake, laughing my ass off. She has the worst taste in men of all time. Ha 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 ha.
It's so bad. As the way she describes him too, it's like, I'm trying to see if this relationship with Thomas is not the best for me, so I'm going to date the person that I see has the most traits in common with Thomas.
she literally is like, I was vibing with Blake. I was getting feelings for Blake. And then I just decided to fight those feelings. So I started seeing him in a different way. But now I'm not fighting those feelings anymore. What?
Oh, my gosh. And then, you know, like we get Erica, same old story, same old song and dance about Corey. Like, honestly, I don't even want to waste time talking about it because it's so sorry. I even wrote Erica. Erin is doing that. It's just like so boring now to me. I'm like, come on, let's do something fun. Let's have something different.
The only thing I liked from Erin this whole episode is her conversation with Shaq, where he's like, I have feelings for her and I want her to confirm that she has feelings for me. And he's like, I think we connect really well. And if you think I'm wrong, just tell me. And she's like, you're wrong. And then laughs really hard. Like, I thought that was the only good thing we've gotten from her in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty, though. She's really pretty.
She is pretty.
Yeah. Whenever I see her on the screen, I'm always like, she looks like, and I think the reason that all the guys like her is because she like just appears to be really approachable. Like, she has one of those faces that you're like, oh, I feel like I could go up to her and talk to her. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but
approachable.
Yeah.
You said it.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very approachable.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But then meanwhile, at the guys' party, they are in the hot tub. They dare Nicole to kiss Alexis. And we find out there's some bisexuality going on, which that's great.
They're making out. Julian actually falls out of the back of the pool trying to get away from them
because, you know, he does not want that to be showing up at the bonfire at all.
Yep. And so you know, Kendall loves that Alexis is ready to party.
Oh, yeah, because she's discreet most of the time. But when she's ready to party, she's ready to party.
And Nicole is the girl who in the second episode or third episode, I think, was the one who got blackout drunk and started yelling at Corey in front of everybody. So she's a mess, right? She's just a complete mess. And Kendall says that they have good vibes, like all of them as a trio. And so Alexis invites Nicole up to the Kendall's room. She said, do you want to go to our room? Literally referring to it as our room, like her and Kendall. Mm-hmm. They go get in the hot tub. They clearly, like, Alexis is being like, do you want to stay the night? And Nicole's like, do you really want me to? And they get in bed together, and Kendall, butt naked from the bathroom, walks out and gets in bed. And wow. Just wow.
He's a literal monster. He said, you know what? I did a really bad thing in the last cycle of episodes, so I'm going to raise the stakes and be even worse.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear what Mary said?
Yes. I've never wanted anything more. Except actually, I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to Mary for saying the F word a couple minutes ago. I've been feeling really bad about it ever since.
You're about to hear some F words from Mary. So it's So she says, why do guys like watching two women kiss? I don't get it. And OMG. A threesome? What the actual fuck? I mean, it is an actual fuck, but oh my God, I'm speechless right now. Erica thinks she can't see anything worse than she saw the last bonfire. Oh, honey, hold on to your seat. My poor mother. My poor sweet mother.
I can't believe we've subjected poor Mary to this. But
I know, but it's so good, right?
Deeply
it's
grateful so for her spot on. Feedback at every moment. After, like, the next morning, Alexis, you can tell, is actually kind of uncomfortable with what happened. Like, she's like,
it's weird.
Yeah,
right?
This is something that's kind of out of my comfort zone, but like, I wanted to try something new. And it's like, I think that she did that to lock in Kendall.
But yeah. the thing that's weird about it to me, though, is we saw the clip, right? Kendall wasn't even in the room. And Alexis is like, do you want to stay? And Nicole's like, really? You want me to stay? And Alexis was like, yeah. Like, we saw her sort of being the instigator.
But so then she's like, I wasn't really comfortable with what happened. But, like, I did it anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. It was odd. Yeah.
It is because you see Alexis being the one inviting her up to the room, inviting her into the hot tub, inviting her into the bed, inviting her to stay the night. And so I was like, there were many points where she was initiating things that I was surprised to be getting that confessional from her the next morning, as opposed to Nicole, who was like so excited about everything. And
well,
like,
she was like, I'm going to be on TV. Right? Nicole was like, oh my God, this is going to be great TV.
Mess. Kendall also has a confessional here that makes it seem like there's actually another woman at the villa that he wants to hook up with. He doesn't name names. I don't know who this woman is. But Kendall is not satisfied with the two women that he has slept with thus far. He wants more.
I honestly think that we're going to get a Kendall hookup with someone else, like who's not Alexis. 100%. I think we're gonna see him hook up with someone who's not Alexis, and Alexis is gonna be like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah. Like, he's gonna be like, "No, you.
Yeah." He's That's gonna be like, thing. "No, I'm not kidding you. I'm on Temptation Island. I'm the main character."
He's gonna say, "My heart posture is open." Okay.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Oh, and he said he would consider taking Nicole on a date, which Alexis will love.
And that's what I'm wondering. Like, is he going to now jump to Nicole? Is there going to be another jump in the future? Like,
did you see the preview of the next episode?
You know I don't watch previews.
I couldn't watch it either. what was it? What is it?
Scally, will you be mad if I spoil it right now?
No, you're fine.
So the preview for the next episode is like, we're a throuple now.
Oh.
Kendall and Nicole and Alexis.
Oh.
They're like beginning to think like this is something more than just like two people, like literally they're gonna be a throuple next week.
What if Alexis and Nicole find love and leave Kendall on the island?
Yes,
and
I would never stand anything more. I could That's never stand thing. Anything more.
What a wild end.
A throuple storyline is how you get me back in on this. Like, I can stand a throuple. Like, I'm sorry.
I mean, we're going to have to get Chappelle on the pod when
the throuple. That's amazing. But then we get Like we get the Kent, Julian and Kendall debrief where he just said, you know, it's a while that knights can go from 0 to 1,000, you know, all of that. Julian's sort of like, please don't implicate me in this. Yeah, I don't want my girlfriend to think I'm doing something like
Julian
this.
Literally says, yeah, I went to bed pretty early last night and missed it all.
Because he was crying.
He was busy crying over Kristen. Oh,
Then we go to the girls' villa, yes. And we see Erica say, every time I close my eyes, I still see that clip. And knowing as the audience what we now know, we're like, girl, you haven't even seen the half of it. Oh,
you're,
my God.
You in danger, girl.
I know. Poor girl. It's terrible.
We also hear in this moment that Kristen doesn't normally talk about when she was cheated on. She doesn't show her emotions because she doesn't want people to take advantage of her vulnerability, which is like exactly what Corey said at the start of the episode. But just sad. They have a very cute friendship.
Yeah, it's sweet. I really like them hanging out together. And we get the quote to end all quotes. You know, before we go to this bonfire, this girls' bonfire, where Erica says, I don't think I can see anything worse at this bonfire than what I saw at the last one.
So here's my question for both of you. There wasn't a bonfire planned for this night, right? And they threw in an extra one because of the threesome. That's how I am feeling, because I feel like this is the first time we've gotten a bonfire two episodes in a row.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really have no idea. I think that usually you're supposed to get like one bonfire moment each episode, but it's because they didn't go on dates or anything. Yeah. But I think maybe they just threw that huge party in hopes that something like this would happen. Yeah.
I'm all for it. You know. Bring on more bonfires. I want to
drama.
See the mess.
Like, Gally wants
like the best
parts,
right?
Exactly. Like Erica says, I don't know what else I could see that would be worse. Producers say, like, all right, bet. Like, here we go, another bonfire.
Say less. So we do get the bonfire, and we start with Chelsea, and she gets to see Julian calling her a hypocrite. And then a short scene of Thomas talking to Sophia about how she's so easy to talk to. And then he picks her up and runs away.
I would hate that, too, though. This is the thing.
You would hate all... Like, Maggie, if you were on Temptation Island, you'd spend the whole time like, why did they do that?
Yes, of course. I would be like a grumpy pants. But I can see why Chelsea is getting upset, but my mom has actually feelings about Chelsea and the way that she handles everything.
Okay.
And my mom says, I'm sorry, but I'm starting to feel like Chelsea is getting whiny. I'm over the I need to put me first speech all the time. Put yourself first and choose a person who loves you and wants to be with you and is proud to have you on his arm. Choose the person who makes you laugh and who makes you a better person. Stop dragging someone along with you who's trying to make them someone that they aren't. And I think my mom's over Chelsea.
I honestly understand that. The one thing I did like is when she sees that Thomas is like upset about something from the bonfire, she's like, he probably just saw me dancing and now he's upset. My dancing should mean nothing. And it's like, that's not what he saw, first of all. But I do love that reaction of like, I did nothing wrong.
Right? And like, obviously, if you're pointing out to the dancing, being like, oh, he might not like my dancing. Well, girl, maybe you shouldn't be dancing like that if the thought in your head was he's not going to like seeing this. Like, you know, if you really do have love and respect, I mean, who are we kidding, right, with these people?
If you really do have
love and respect for your partner, maybe if you have even the thought of like, ooh, they probably wouldn't like this, you shouldn't do it. Final answer.
So I feel like that's an easy choice to make, but we're not the people on Temptation Island, okay?
Yeah.
She also mentions that she's feeling it with Blake and would open up more with him. Ugh.
She feels bad for putting him in the friend zone over and all, like, leave him there. Next episode, I feel like we're probably going to get the next step in Chelsea and Blake is what I'm feeling. And I don't think she needs it. I don't think that's what she should be doing.
I feel like we knew that this was coming, though, because I don't think Blake would be so excited about his time on the show and hosting viewing parties and posting about it all the time if he wasn't like a big part of it. I think he's very happy with what he's done so far. And I think he is a loser.
I would agree.
I could see Blake on the challenge.
Concur.
No, you could not.
No,
the men in the challenge house would eat him alive.
No, I
agree.
Want
Kendall on the challenge just so that he can lose in an elimination.
That is
fair. But then he would just like cheat on whoever he's dating at the time with someone else and we'd have to see it again.
I just feel like Blake is the, like, he fancies himself a manipulator, like, has a very big ego, ready to get in there.
We
I could
found
see him getting
it.
Knocked down a few pegs, but...
We found him, the male contestant that people will hate more than Josh Martinez. But do you think that, who would win, Dr. Blake or Wes? Because, you know, he would go after Wes and try to create a rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Wes would win. Come on. Obviously. Don't even insult us.
It's a joke. Let me live. Let me live. Okay, so Erin gets her scene, and it's Nicole and another woman that I've never seen before in my entire life. And they're talking about how, like, you know what? They respect Erin. She's an alpha like Nicole. She's a Jersey girl like Nicole. And
the second that Nicole says, like, Erin and I feel like are really similar. Erin makes like the biggest like yuck face that I've ever seen. And she's like, shakes
Can
her head immediately.
Can you imagine anything more insulting than Nicole thinking you're the same?
Oh, my God.
I'd make the same face.
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
And so this other woman says that, like, Erin either is just not happy with Corey anymore based on like who he's become, or she just like wants to break up and brought him here for that purpose. And Erin is furious. She is not okay. She is crying a lot.
Yeah, she says, you know, these girls don't know me. I don't agree with what these girls are saying about me. And it really bothers her that people would think that, because that is how she felt like when she first got here. But it's different now. And how can you say that? Because things have changed. But the whole point is that they separate you, so your boyfriend doesn't know that things have changed. So, yeah.
And she's like, I would never just use this as an excuse to break up with my boyfriend. The camera like pans to Kristen. It's not going super great for Erin here.
Yeah. I mean, Erin, I just see like the meltdown and coming, because I actually see for her, maybe he leaves the island with another girl, and I can see her sort of like meltdown ensuing over the next few episodes over maybe some of the things she's going to see from him. And Corey hasn't done anything, you know, bad yet. He's been like really, really nice. He seems like a good guy. I like him. My mom obviously really likes him. She's got a little thing for Corey, I think. So but yeah, and then we get, you know, the main event here, and we get Erica, and we get the threesome clip. And there's a lot of moaning, and it's not good. It's not good. And Erica goes, well, at this point, my new norm is watching Kendall have sex with not just one person, but two people. And she's like, has a sense of humor about it. Like, I honestly, like, I love her so much. Like, I was sitting there and I was like, no kidding. Like, when Hannah was on, she was talking about how she, like, Erica is so the protagonist of the story. And like, it couldn't be more clear. Like, I'm like, I love Erica. I want to hang out with her. I want to set her up with my friend. Like, you know, she's just seems so amazing. And you as the audience are rooting for her so hard.
If anyone's not rooting for Erica, I don't care to know that person.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she said nothing he can do will make her get back with him. Exactly. And she's saying she spent 2.5 years trying to paint this picture of him being this amazing, wise, intelligent man. But, and then she referenced the clip. Like, how, you can't deny that. There's nothing that anyone can say about him, because actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, like, I'm glad, even though it's wild, I'm glad this happened so early into the process where she's gotten her clarity. And if she wants to enjoy the process in a different way, the same way as whatever she wants to do, like, that's on the table now, because she knows, like, this is not going anywhere with Kendall. No. So at least she is starting the process of something else.
I hope so hard that she hooks up with someone and Kendall has a meltdown over it and is like, how dare she? I really, really want that to be the storyline. Please.
Imagine if Kendall starts complaining to the other men about Erica cheating on him after what he has done.
I see it.
I feel like Julian would smack him.
I don't know. I think Julian might be like, oh, okay, dude.
I think Julian would smack him and then cry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, I just want to say, I like that we are seeing just a representation of a man having emotions and there's no like judgment on it, because I don't think we get enough of that in media. But I guess Temptation Island is like the next frontier. Normalize men having emotions.
Right. And the clip that we have for Kristen is the really sad clip of Julian in his room crying.
It's
and
so
the second
sad.
She sees him crying, she immediately starts weeping. She gets so upset, like visibly upset. And Mark L. Wahlberg is like, whoa, like, what are you feeling? And he like gets up from his seat and sits next to her because of how visibly upset Kristen is, which like he didn't even do that for Erica when Kendall was cheating on her for the first time and she watched it.
And Kristen is like, I feel so bad. Like, he's crying by himself and I'm not there for him. I don't even know why he's crying, but I can't be there to make it better. And I'm upset about that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like really interesting that she would say that, because, you know, she's like, I don't like to see anyone to see me cry. I want to do it all by myself. And she's so upset that she can't be there to do that for him, which I think just sort of speaks to probably the issues with their relationship. I feel like Kristen is probably that Enneagram 2 type, like I am, where it's like you want to serve other people. So your emotional needs sometimes go to the wayside and don't get met. And like her first thought is like, oh my gosh, I just wish I could make it better. But she's not willing to give that to herself and give him the opportunity to make her feel that way, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also one of those things where, like, we've been talking for weeks about how Kristen is one foot out the door. And I think she probably didn't anticipate that it would be so upsetting to see Julian not doing okay. And so that's also like a wake up call where she's like, oh, wow, no, I still like care about this person. I just like don't want to be with them.
Yeah, it can be that. I don't know, because you know that at these bonfires, like they're going to show you the worst possible thing. And the fact that like, the worst thing they have is just him crying on the bed really means like he's not doing anything else.
Well, and you know, he's giving nothing to the producers.
But that's the thing. And so like, it's not even like from his point of view that she's put that first foot out the door and he's already this hurt. Like, I think that she probably is like, oh, this is a preview of what's to come when this does not continue. And like, that's probably at least a part of what is so hard.
Yeah. And then we also find out, so we've had many like kind of breadcrumbs throughout the last couple of episodes about some massive trauma that Kristen has been through. Julian mentions earlier in this episode that they've lost family members. They've been through so much. And we do find out that Kristen's brother had died of an overdose. And that's kind of like the big trauma that has been impacting her a lot emotionally.
It's so sad. I mean, it's obviously just heartbreaking and so, so sad. And I'm really hoping that perhaps we get more, you know, now that we're like nosy people watching this, like I'm like really hoping that I get more context of like when that was. When was it in relation to when Julian cheated on her? Like, how did that affect their relationship as a whole? If it's more recent, if it was like very, you know, I'm just really hoping that we get a little bit more clarity on, you know, what exactly she's been through and like get context on a lot of this stuff, because it actually does help give a lot of context of like why she would be feeling this way and why she doesn't want to cry to her mom. You know, she mentioned that last episode and I was like, she doesn't even want to cry to her mom, you know, but like now I sort of understand it a little bit more.
Well, and it makes complete sense to me that it would be a trauma associated with some kind of loss, because when people lose someone that's close to them, they do it all in different ways. Like, everyone is different. There's no one way to do it. And it does like dramatically shift relationships and the way that you act with people. And that is like something massive that you have to actually like approach and work through. Or it can end like a strong, stable relationship. It's just sad and hard. Our hearts go out to Kristen and her fam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horrible. I'm glad that up until this point, like, the show has handled it with care, at least from what we've seen so far. Even like in this, like after she sees Julian, she says like she realized that like there's a lot of herself that she needs to also work on. And I would assume that this is part of it and her feelings around everything. And I don't know that Temptation Island is going to be the place to really do all of that work. So if it works for her, awesome. Or if there is work to be done off of the island, hope she gets it, because it's not easy. Definitely.
Yeah. No. And then it literally jumped into the promo for next week, which shows the single girls throwing some sort of like masquerade party for the boys where they all have masks on. And it looks like it gets very steamy there. There's a scene about Kendall being in a throuple with Nicole and Alexis. And then there's the scene that is Thomas is like massaging Sophia, like putting sunscreen on her and then smacks her ass.
It's literally
massaging her shoulders and like talking about how it feels so good to touch Sophia, and then he just smacks her ass in a bikini. Like so Chelsea's gonna see that, and that is certainly gonna spur her towards Dr. Blake even more.
Of course. And like, you hit, I'm sorry, you're doing it to yourself, Thomas. If you want Chelsea to do nothing, maybe you should be like Julian up in your room crying.
This is just his personality. He's a flirty guy, okay? He can't help it. He has a condition.
Okay, Scally. Every week on this podcast, we give an award called Scumbag King of the Week.
It doesn't cast have winners. To be a man.
Yeah. No, we don't discriminate here. King can be man, woman, you know, whoever. Kendall has won it in the past. Dr. Blake has won it in the past. Alexis has won it in the past.
Alexis's one Instagram post has won it in the past. Because she posted a thing like the week that she like starts a game with Kendall being like, don't drop a dime for a nickel, but you drop a dime for $100 bill. So,
I mean, how can you get any classier? No. So who is your vote this week for Scumbag King?
I don't think you can give it to anyone but Kendall in this episode. I mean, whether it's the threesome or the 60% or just the heart posture, like he's all over this episode. There are many things that qualify. So I feel like it's a runaway.
I agree completely, but you missed one other thing that he could have gotten Scumbag King completely for. And that's the velvet shirt unbuttoned to his belly button.
Yeah, I mean, the velvet shirt's not the look, Kendall. Maybe we throw them away after this. I don't know. And they're not even velvet, I'm sure.
Okay.
Enough.
Kendall. Actually, you know what? I don't like Kendall. I hope he goes out looking a fool. Keep wearing the velvet shirts.
I completely agree also. It has to be Kendall, obviously. Like you said, a runaway. But also, my thing... I don't want to keep giving it to Kendall, right? Like he's won it so many times. I need somebody else to step up. Somebody else, please step up, dethrone Kendall as the scumbag king. I want to see it. I'm rooting for you guys.
I
mean,
I think that Thomas is going to look bad next week. So maybe we can look forward to naming him the scumbag king of the week next week.
Fingers crossed.
If we were going for like an honorary mention, what was his name? Trent, who just insisted on getting 2 minutes on his way out the door.
Trent and Evan.
Like, really unnecessary.
Yeah. And also like so embarrassing.
But
for themselves,
I will admit, I don't know if that was Trent or if it was Rocky Buttery, because I can't tell them apart.
They can all have it.
Rocky
That's
Buttery
fine.
Stayed quiet. Your husband stayed quiet. He knew his place, Kirsten.
Oh, thank God. Gotta have a man who knows his place. that's it. That is the episode. Scally, thank you so much for joining us.
This was so fun. I'm so honored that I got to be on with you Love Island folks.
Oh no, please. I'm so excited to have been here. Very, very honored, Maggie. Definitely watch Love Island this summer so we can talk again. The best joy.
And so Scally, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
All right, so I am on Twitter at @Brian_Scally, where I'll be retweeting basically anything I'm doing, in particular the challenge podcast that I did with, that I do with Matt Ligori every week over on the Dom and Colin podcast. You can check out. I have done, what have I done recently? The Reality Rewind with Chappelle and Rob, talking about Battle of the Network Stars, the Reality Stars, which included an OG Temptation Island member. So you can go check that out. And popping up in the Big Brother coverage. Oh, I think they'll actually also announce tonight. I'll be on the next season of the Survivor recaps. So ooh, go ahead and check that out.
We got the scoop. And Maggie, as always, yes, what a pleasure to talk to you. Ugh, just makes my week better.
Wonderful. Yes, it's so great. It's the highlight of my week to talk about these hot dummies.
We love hot dummies, especially on islands. And so, Maggie, you are on some of the Big Brother Canada coverage right now, right?
Yes, I have been doing live feed updates. It's been really fun. The feeds have been absolutely wild. So I've done a couple of those podcasts. I am on Twitter @_MLMorgan and on Instagram @MLMorgan_. You can check me out both those places. Please tweet me any Temptation Island thoughts. I screenshot them all and send them to my mother. She loves to hear from you. She doesn't like, because when I do the updates, she can see the YouTube video and the YouTube comments, and she likes like that interaction. And so she doesn't like that I have to like screenshot her stuff from Twitter. She's like, I want to just be able to look at it. I'm like, well, this podcast is recorded. Like it's a different sort of thing. But yeah. So yeah, please tweet me. I'll send them all to my mother. Tweet me nice things about my mom. Let's get her on the finale podcast.
That's precious. How did Mary feel about being part of our social media clip last week?
Oh, she loved it. I had to get a photo that was approved by her, so I sent her a couple options and she picked the photo. But actually I reposted on my Instagram, and that's sort of where it blew up, because all my friends who like don't watch Temptation Island and aren't listening to the podcast are like, what is happening? My brother was like, what is happening with mom? Like, why is mom? And I'm like, yeah, you would understand if you listened, Ellie.
Yeah, if but, they were a better sibling.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you just would spend, you know, 2 hours of your week watching the show and listening, you know, you would know.
So honestly, 8% of one day, like, it's not that much time. So if people want more from me, you can listen to me on BoJack Horse Pod every week, where we're talking about BoJack Horseman, as well as on Kowski Cast, talking about Riverdale. That's Cow with a K. And I am going to be on the eviction recap for BB Can 9. Actually, when this drops, it'll be like tonight. So check that out for sure.
Exciting.
And follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What. This podcast is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you are more interested in finding out what's going on in the RHAP patron community, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron, and we'll be back next week to talk about more Temptation Island. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.